All right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this regular meeting of the Rancho Santa Margarita City Council. I'm going to call this meeting to order, and we will begin tonight with the Pledge of Allegiance. Councilmember Figueroa, would you please lead us?
Would everybody please stand so we can salute our beautiful flag? Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Could we have a roll call, please?
Mayor Beal.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem McGurr.
Here.
Councilmember Barrett.
Here.
Councilmember Figueroa.
Here.
Councilmember Holloway.
Here.
Thank you very much. That brings us to item one, schedule of future events. Ms. City Manager.
Thank you very much, Mayor Beal and members of the City Council. Item 1.1, we're announcing Independence Day is Friday, July 4th, and City Hall will be closed in observance of Independence Day. Sam Lark's Star Spangled Spectacular event is also on Friday, July 4th, from 4 a.m. to 9:30 p.m., located at the Lago Santa Margarita Beach Club. Members are invited to enjoy Independence Day at the lake. Bring a picnic, enjoy the summer afternoon, and stroll by the Lakeshore Amphitheater to enjoy live and patriotic musical performances and activities. A dazzling fireworks display will soar above the lake at 9 p.m. Flyers are located in the back of the room. And then coming this Sunday, in just a few short days from today, on June 29th, Sunday, 4 to 8 p.m., located at Central Park, we have a very special event, Celebration of Community, 25 Years of Cityhood. This event is free and open to the public. There will be extended splash pad hours, food vendors, inflatables, and games for kids, photo booths, beverage garden, cupcake and birthday cake stations throughout the park. The Dreamers Market vendors will be there, and also we'll have booths hosted by community center instructors and local partners. Also part of the celebration, the city, in partnership with RSM Cares, is hosting a plein air painting contest. Artists are invited to participate in open air paint out sessions on June 28th, located at Lago Santa Margarita, and July 26th, located at O'Neill Park, both beginning at 10 a.m. Winners will be announced at the final summer concert on August 10th at Central Park. Speaking of the summer concerts, the summer concert series starts July 6th. And will run for six consecutive Sundays at Central Park from 6 to 8 p.m. The final concert on August 10th will feature two bands, and the Dreamers Market again will be located there. And this one will run from 4 to 8 p.m. Again, that's the last summer concert on August 10th. All the concerts are free and open to the public. Join us at beautiful Central Park for live music with family, friends, and neighbors. Food vendors, community booths, and the Rotary del Sol's popular beer and wine garden offer something for everyone. Our summer concert series is the perfect opportunity to get outside and enjoy the cool summer sunsets in Rancho Santa Margarita. For more information, please contact Community Center staff at 949-216-9700 or visit rsmconnect.org. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So that brings us to item two, council member comments and reports. 2.1 is council member comments. Anything to my right? Councilmember Barrett.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I had the opportunity to participate in a housing panel where we discussed the impact of laws like SB 9 that have stripped cities of local control and planning and development. It was a great opportunity to share how these types of legal mandates are affecting local governance and how different local cities are handling these issues. As some of you know, I absolutely love to read, and I visited the RSM Library branch the other day, and as Councilmember Figueroa mentioned in the last meeting, they have kicked off their summer programs. Residents can participate in the Summer Reading Challenge in branch programming and grab-and-go craft kits. I also learned that there is a Summer Reading Challenge for adults. The library was full of families participating in activities and checking out books, and the staff reminded me to return each week for something new to find. I also wanted to thank all the participants of the Fire Preparedness Community Meeting earlier this evening. It was very informative and was recorded and will be available for viewing for those that could not attend. And I'm looking forward to our celebration of 25 years community event this Sunday. I hope to see you all there. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Councilmember Figueroa.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to give everybody a heads up that on July 1st, the state of California has decided it's going to raise its gas tax again with the current excise tax increases, as well as the new regulations regarding lower carbon emissions. Increases are expected to be as high as 65 cents a gallon more starting July 1st. In 2026, Phillips 66 and Valero's Bay Area refineries are going to close. And estimates that by the end of 2026, your price per gallon of gasoline here in the state of California could near $8. So just a reminder to everybody to please fill up before July 1st.
Thank you very much. To my left, Mayor Pro Tem.
Yes. Thank you for that, Councilmember Figueroa. I just, for those who don't know, the RSM Cares food pantry feeds underprivileged and needy folks here in Rancho Santa Margarita twice a month. And this Saturday is the food collection drive in front of Pavilions all day Saturday from 9 o'clock on. So I would encourage anyone who cares about those who are in need, and I think we all do, is to show up to the Pavilions, buy some non-perishable food. It could be a can of food. It could be spaghetti. It could be a number of things, cereal. And on the way out of Pavilions, just drop it in the boxes where I will be with my lovely wife and other members of RSM Cares, and I think other council members as well. And drop it off. RSM Cares normally collects thousands of pounds of food for this, and it's all donations from our residents. So I would encourage you, if you have a shopping list at home, fulfill it this Saturday at Pavilions and buy something for somebody in need. Thank you very much.
Thank you. So that brings us to item 2.2, committee assignment reports. We have just one tonight, which is the Foothill Eastern Transportation Authority. And I am our city's representative at the Toll Road Agency. We had a meeting on June 12th, and we were notified during that meeting that the Toll Road Agency had received two special award recognitions that I'll share with you. The first was from the Association of California Cities and the Orange County Division. Excuse me. They recognize the TCA for our partnership with the Irvine Police Department, which allows the police department to use a portion of the Tomato Springs Toll Plaza for motorcycle officer training. Some of you, if you drive the toll road, might have seen that in operation. On the side of the road where you're driving, those are motorcycle police officers going through special training there, and it's a safe place for them to do it. It hasn't distracted drivers, and it's something that we are happy to provide, and they're very pleased to have that facility available for them. The second is the California Transportation Foundation recognized Caltrans District 12 and our toll road agency for the 241 Toll Road Jump Out Ramp Repair Project. And this was a collaborative project between the Toll Road Agency and Caltrans to redesign and repair wildlife jump outs that were damaged from a devastating fire along State Route 241. So we were very pleased to receive the recognition for both of those items at our June 12th meeting. So that brings us now to item number 3, presentations and proclamations. And if I could, I'd like to invite the Mayor Pro Tem to join me in front of the dais for this next portion of the agenda. As I mentioned, 3.1, Certificate of Recognition. This is a business recognition to Line Gear Fire and Rescue Equipment. And at this time, I would like to invite forward Long John Nguyen, the owner of this great company.
Good
So I'm pleased to present to you tonight, on behalf of the city, a certificate of recognition. And in addition to the certificate of recognition from our city, I believe you have a certificate of recognition from our state assemblywoman, Kate Sanchez, and from our state senator, Catherine Blakespear. And they are both very pleased to recognize you and your company for the great work that you do. And I'd like to share with you the contents of our city's certificate of recognition. So we desire, as the city of Rancho Santa Margarita, to recognize and express appreciation for local businesses that exemplify excellence, dedication, and service to both their industry and the broader community. And Line Gear Fire and Rescue Equipment was founded in 2005 by Tom and Mona Ramstead, who were motivated to start the company as their son was, and still is, a firefighter in the U.S. Forest Service. And since then, Line Gear continues to serve the fire, rescue, and emergency medical services community with distinction, offering exceptional products, competitive pricing, and outstanding customer service. Line Gear operates as a trusted distributor of critical safety gear, including wildland boots, fire shelters, hoses, protective clothing, communications equipment, and more, supporting both local departments and federal agencies with high-quality, mission-ready equipment. The company is headquartered right here in Rancho Santa Margarita, and they proudly serve as a California corporation since 1998, and they are deeply committed to helping emergency professionals perform their jobs safely and effectively through innovative, cutting-edge solutions. Line Gear's emphasis on efficiency, integrity, and customer satisfaction reflects the highest standards of business operations and contributes meaningfully to the safety and resilience of our region and beyond. And the city of Rancho Santa Margarita is proud to be home to a business that not only supports our first responders, but also honors their work by striving to meet the evolving needs of those who protect our families and our community every day. And so therefore, as the mayor of this city, on behalf of my city council colleagues and the 50,000 residents of this great city, it is our pleasure and honor to recognize you and your company tonight for your many outstanding achievements and all that you do to make Rancho Santa Margarita the best that it could be. Congratulations. Would you like to say a few words?
Thank you, City Council of Santa Margarita. I'm very happy to be here. Thank you for the recognition for Line Gear Fire and Rescue Equipment. I couldn't have done it without the original founders, as you mentioned, Tom and Mona Ramstead, who are still involved in the business today. We are grateful to serve first responders, and I look forward to being a part of Rancho Santa Margarita for 25 years and more to come. Good. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Thank you so much.
Moving on with our agenda, we are now at item 4, public comments. This is the first of two opportunities tonight to address the City Council on any matter that is not listed on our agenda, but is within the subject matter jurisdiction of the city. Public comments are limited to 3 minutes per speaker. and a time limit of 15 minutes for this particular segment. As I mentioned, there will be a second opportunity for public comments at the end of our agenda tonight. Tonight, council colleagues, we have no e-comments, but we have four individuals that have asked to address us tonight. So I'm going to call up first Breanne Boyle. Good evening, Breanne. Welcome.
Hi. My name is Breanne Boyle, and I have lived in RSM for 15 years. I'm here tonight not just as a resident, but as someone who deeply values democracy, and I'm outraged by what's happening in this city. So let's be clear, redistricting the city in a way that secures your political future and shuts out challengers is not just undemocratic, it's juvenile. It's a mockery of the very principles local government is supposed to uphold. Let's go through the tenure of this council to underscore how thoroughly power has been concentrated in a small, closed circle. Tony Beal has been on the council since 2004, but he was on the Planning Commission even earlier. He served as mayor six times. Brad McGurr has been on the council since 2012, again with prior service on the Planning Commission, and he's been mayor twice. Ann Figueroa joined the council in 2018 after 3 years on the Planning Commission, and she too has held the mayor seat. Jerry Holloway, he's been on the council since 2002 and served as a mayor four times. As a reminder, our city was founded in 2000, which means these members have been holding seats for all or most of that time. And Carrie Lynn Bayert, our newest member, is only here because the redistricted maps finally cracked open the door to this absurd fraternity. This is not what a representative government looks like. This is entrenchment and it's engineered incumbency. Also, you have approved a $1 million monument sign on Antonio while completely taking away the funding for the Boys and Girls Club, something people actually used. The total cost has always been unclear, tucked away across budgets with no community input because apparently you think you know best. Then there's the lawsuit over district elections. You lost. The court ordered you to pay $37,500 in legal fees to attorney Michelle Jackson. Unknown consequence. But instead of accepting the ruling, you're now spending nearly $500,000 in public funds to avoid paying her. The 2024-25 budget includes $450,535 for legal expenses, up from $262,216 just 2 years ago. I'm not sure if you think we don't care how this is being spent, but we do. I'm not sure if you think we are idiots, but we can see that almost $500,000 is more than $37,000. That's our money going to Sacramento law firms to fight a requirement you knew you had to adhere to. It's not just wasteful, but it's shameful. If this is how you govern, with disregard for fiscal transparency, democratic process, and public input, then it's time the public speaks louder and votes smarter. I also want to throw in there, since I have a few seconds of time, that the fear-mongering around gas prices earlier is a pretty partisan thing to do, and it's nonsense. Do you like safe roads? So do I. Taxes do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Boyle. Appreciate your comments. I would just mention for those in the audience that the city of Rancho Santa Margarita was forced to change the way elections are held and go to districts due to the way California law is written in a demand letter that was submitted to us by an attorney. And we are in litigation with that attorney right now. No judge has ever ordered the city to pay that person anything. The city of Rancho Santa Margarita has always been ready, willing, and able to pay once the attorney provided the information to back up the invoices that state law requires. And until very recently, none of that information had been provided to this city. So just wanted to make sure you are aware of what the facts actually are. And in November, the representative government, the people of this city, elected the members of this council, and that's the way it is every election. So thank you for being here tonight. I appreciate your comments. Our next speaker tonight is Craig Innes. Good evening, Craig. Welcome.
Good evening, council members and staff. My name is Craig Innes. I'm on the insurance committee for an HOA here, a chairperson. And I looked at the map here, and it seems to be very arbitrary. I checked my address out. I checked some other addresses nearby. One particular building is maybe 40,000 square feet footprint, multiple buildings on the property. It's rated moderate. I'm 25 yards from there. I'm very high. I don't see how this can be accurate, or I think it's arbitrary, and it's not fair to the homeowners that have to live in this area considered high danger, or very high danger. I'm sorry. Also, why are we paying for a fire hazard increase in hazard due to most likely airport fire? That was caused by a public utility work crew. Is that a wildfire or is that not a wildfire? That wildfire would have caught us if the wind would have been blowing towards us instead of us blowing towards the west and missed us, but it could have, for sure, I had seen flames from my front porch, and that was very close. But I don't see how this, there's no definition in the insurance code of California of what exactly is a wildfire. If a wildfire is called caused by man-made ignition or accident, is that a wildfire? And are the citizens in this area responsible for this increase in this hazard that they had nothing to do with, that was not caused by a natural ignition? Now, I don't know that the CAL FIRE is here. I see a fireman here, or a policeman, is he? I don't see anybody from CAL FIRE. I was at two meetings in Mission Viejo last month. The CAL FIRE didn't show up at that meeting, neither of those meetings they were supposed to have. And the residents, at that time, the council chambers were full. There was standing room only because CAL FIRE revised their map in Mission Viejo, too, and a lot of people there are concerned about their status as being involved with the higher fire dangers areas. And I would ask that the council consider researching this further. It seems to be arbitrary and capricious. I don't see how this can be a valid map in the situations like I am. The city, there's embers that can fly as far as 3 miles. And why is this area that's safe? Is it really safe in the city here? And why are we paying this high premiums? Our HOA is paying over $250,000 in premium. 2 years ago, we paid $33,000. And now, if there's anybody here from the insurance department or the commissioner, I'd like to talk to them about that, how this could happen, and why are we being socked with this huge premiums that are currently being marketed. And also,
I have to wrap up, Craig.
Also, these companies that we're becoming victims of are not even located in California or in the United States. They're in the UK. And they're not even legal entities. So they really are free from any court action.
Thank you, Craig.
All right, thank you.
And Craig, your comments are timely. We all just came from next door. We just had a fire prevention and preparedness workshop. Uh-huh. And we had all of the stakeholders present and available to answer questions. Many people in this city have similar questions to you. We had representatives speak and available for answering questions from the Orange County Fire Authority, from the Orange County Sheriff's Department, the Orange County Fire Watch, most importantly for your purposes, from the California Insurance Commissioner's Office, and a number of other partners there. It's a big, big issue. The city has nothing to do with preparing those maps, but we do have resources, and I can put you in touch with the people that could answer your specific questions regarding insurance. And I know you know how to reach me, and I'd be more than happy to present that to you. Mm-hmm. We do all that we can, but our jurisdiction doesn't include the issues that you're talking about.
Well, CAL FIRE was who I went to speak with. That they haven't showed up.
I could
up.
Put you in touch with all of them.
They haven't showed up.
See me after
very
the
many
meeting.
Council
Mr.
meetings.
Mayor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right,
thank
Mr.
you.
Mayor, there is an item on the agenda later on this agenda that deals with the issues, so that would be an appropriate time for the discussion.
And Craig, I hope you heard that and you stick around for our agenda tonight. It'll touch on some of these issues. Thank you. Okay. I apologize in advance. Our next speaker is Brad. I'm having a hard time reading your writing. Is it Spire? Specter, sorry. Brad Specter.
Hi, good evening,
everybody. Good evening. Welcome, sir.
Yeah. I'm here to ask for some consideration from the council. I live on Melinda Road, and from Santa Margarita Parkway up to the 241, we constantly have cars racing up and down that street. I've noticed that on Las Flores and up by the lake, the council or whoever is in charge of that has put up these signs that say you're speeding, it's a noise problem. I'm asking for that kind of consideration on Belinda. We have a lot of noise on that street, basically due to speeding cars and pretty loud vehicles. That's my whole ask.
I appreciate you bringing that to our attention. Our chief of police services is taking notes here. Did you want to say anything, Chief?
I do. Thank you for your comments and concerns. So we do deploy traffic enforcement based on resident input, and I've taken a note of that. So we will utilize that information and deploy those resources accordingly. So thank you.
Great. Yeah, if in fact that we could get one of those signs, I think would be really advantageous. Thanks for your time, everybody.
We have some signs that are permanent and others that I believe are mobile. So
right. They're both, on Las Flores and on up near the lake, they're mobile. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Our final speaker tonight is Amber Bloomer. I think it's Bloomer, if not Bloom. Bloomer. Hi, Amber. Welcome.
Hi. I've been here before. I have a question in terms of the agenda. It's my understanding that in order to get an item on the agenda, one council member has to propose it, and then a second council member has to second it. Mm-hmm. I suspect that's done in many city councils. But what I have to say is that if, as a whole, the council decides that something, not something they want to talk about, well, it never gets seconded. So I have not been to that many meetings, but there are not many meetings where I've actually seen, like, somebody come up and ask a question and then for that piece of information or that question to be on the agenda. So I'm kind of curious, is that the way that it works? Somebody has to propose it and then somebody has to second it?
So for this particular part of the agenda, it's not really a discussion.
Okay, so when I walk away, you can give a rebuttal then.
I can give you a little bit of information, and I'm happy to chat with you after the meeting as well.
Okay. The second thing that I'd ask is specifically for you, Tony. When Brianne came up and talked, you all asked for input from the public. When she came up to speak, you didn't even really look at her. You were looking down at your phone. It was pretty disrespectful, I have to say. And so you're doing it again now. And I will say that there is...
Amber, I jot down notes because I want to remember the points that our speakers ask. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm trying to be prepared so I could hear them and really understand.
I spend my time on Zoom all the time, and I'm capable of making notes at the same time as keeping eye contact with somebody.
You must be much better than I am.
Perhaps. The other piece of information that I... wanted to say is the conversation that Brianne was bringing is that it's my understanding that invoice was submitted, then that the information on the invoice is not 100% correct, and that's what's going through litigation right now. And so I'm just curious whether it's worth spending a whole ton of extra money, why not just pay the invoice, which is like $34,000. Instead, we're now going to deposition, which is costing attorneys expensive money, and my assumption is then it's going to go to court. So it seems like just pay the darn thing and get it done. Otherwise, we're spending a whole ton of other money. And somebody else mentioned about loud cars, so I'm going to jump on the bandwagon. Santa Margarita Parkway at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's hell. Every single night, there are at least 3 or 4 cars or bikes coming through there with exhausts that are louder than anything anybody wants to hear. So we have a noise ordinance, and I don't know if there's anybody ever... There's been signs on Santa Margarita that there's a noise ordinance. I thought my memory served me. So if there's any way we could get somebody out there with some test or something, I don't know what can be done. So just a thought. Thanks.
Thank you for your comments, Amber. As to your question regarding payment of invoices, we have to be stewards of the precious taxpayer dollars. Just like every bill that we pay, we must have information, invoices, and the backup information before we spend the taxpayers' money. This invoice is treated no differently than any other. The difference was that the person that submitted that information, the invoice, never submitted to us the information that we needed in order to pay. So that's why they filed litigation against the city and why we are responding. So thank you for your comments. I'll try to do better with eye contact. Any other individuals wish to speak tonight? As I mentioned, there'll be one other opportunity later in our meeting. Okay, so that wraps up item number four, and we move now to the consent calendar. All matters on the consent calendar are to be approved in one motion unless a member of the city council, staff, or a member of the public requests separate action on any item on the consent calendar. Do we need to pull any items tonight?
I would like to pull item 5.3, please.
5.3, okay. Anything else? Is there a motion to approve the balance of the consent calendar except for 5.3?
So moved.
The motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. That motion carries unanimously. Item 5.3 is approval of the minutes from the June 11th meeting. And Councilmember Berry, you pulled this item.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to add a revision to the minutes regarding my comments on page 9 to more accurately reflect what I discussed. I'd like to add the resolution balances enforcement with compassion by allowing continued outreach to individuals experiencing homelessness.
Let's make sure we're all on the same page. So this is on page 9 at the bottom, 11 at the top. This is with respect to the anti-camping ordinance.
Yes, it's my comments regarding that, please.
And would you say that one more time, what you're looking for?
I would like to add the resolution balances enforcement with compassion by allowing continued outreach to individuals experiencing homelessness.
Okay. Ms. City Clerk, you got that information? Okay. Would you like to move the item with that clarification?
I would like to move approval of item 5.3 with the revisions.
Okay, is there a second? I'll second it. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Aye. That motion carries unanimously. Thank you. All right. Item 6 is public hearing items. We have none tonight, so we are at item 7, new business, 7.1. Introduction of an uncodified ordinance adopting the fire hazard severity zone map for the city of Rancho Santa Margarita local responsibility area. Ms. Kuda, good evening.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of the City Council. This item is before you tonight because of requirements of state law. Specifically, the Office of State Fire Marshal is required to prepare maps based on consistent statewide criteria and provide those recommended maps to local jurisdictions with local responsibility areas. And local responsibilities are those areas where local jurisdictions, such as the City of Rancho Santa Margarita, are responsible for providing fire protection services. The local jurisdictions in Southern California received the maps on March 24th of this year. State law required that we made those maps available for public review and comment within 30 days. We did that by posting those on the city's website and providing a comment form for the public. Let me just pause for a moment. If your screens aren't on, you have a power button at the lower right-hand corner. There we go. All right. And so we made those recommended maps available for public review and comment as of April 1st. And then the city is required to adopt the recommended maps within 120 days of that March 24th date, which will be mid-August. And then following adoption of the ordinance, we are required to submit that ordinance to the Office of the State Fire Marshal. This graphic shows the proposed map of the city's local responsibility area. By way of history, fire hazard severity zone maps were first created in the 1990s. However, there was no requirement for local adoption, and they did only include one fire hazard severity zone. That was the very high fire hazard severity zones. These maps were used and still are used to apply certain sections of the building code and hazard disclosures, as you'll see on a upcoming slide. The map that we received on March 24th shows these three zones, a very high, a high, and a moderate hazard severity zone. And we've given you some statistics in your staff report. These zones do cover about 70% of the city. The purpose and use of these maps, this table shows how the different zones are utilized. So the building standards for construction, that applies to all new construction and some remodels. We call that 7A. That applies in the very high fire hazard severity zone today. With adoption of the maps, it will apply in the very high and high. If you look at the state's website, it says moderate TBD. So I think there is a proposal there to have the 7A apply in the moderate, but it does not today. Property development standards. So for new developments, there are subdivision standards such as road widths, water supply, and other defensible space requirements. Defensible space requirements, as we heard in the earlier meeting tonight, do apply already in the very high. Natural hazard real estate disclosure. What that means is when someone goes to sell a home, there is a disclosure that states this home is in the very high fire hazard severity zone. And then, as we've done in the past, the general plan safety element does discuss fire hazards in the wildland urban interface. Again, as we discussed earlier tonight, the city takes wildfire preparedness and public safety very seriously. We do lots of events throughout the year. We had the annual Fire Safety and Preparedness Community meeting tonight. We have a very active CERT program. We are constantly encouraging the community to subscribe to the Alert OC service. The Orange County Fire Authority has a home assessment program, their Ready, Set, Go program. We feature that prominently whenever we can. The evacuation zones are something else that we publicize. We have recently updated the city's local hazard mitigation plan, and we do that every 5 years. The City Council saw the most recent version of that in November, and it's actually coming to the next meeting for final adoption. The city does clear vegetation to maintain defensible space on city-owned property. We are currently working on an update to our emergency operations plan, and starting next month, we will be applying for listing on the state's fire risk reduction community list, and then we collaborate regularly with the Orange County Emergency Operations Center. So this is one list. I could probably add more, but these are some very wildfire preparedness forward items. One thing I would like to point out, and it's pointed out in your staff report, we are requesting one clarification in the ordinance. So this graphic here shows that the lines provided on the state maps don't respect property lines. So here you'll see the red, orange, and yellow. The green here represents the not in a fire hazard severity zone. It's just the way our GIS illustrates it. And so we want to make sure that it's clear when someone comes in for a permit what applies. And so we are proposing this language that says if a property is in more than one zone, the more stringent severity zone would apply. So with that, the recommended action tonight is introduce for first reading, read by title only, and waive any further reading of an ordinance entitled An Ordinance of the City Council of the City of Rancho Santa Margarita, California, designating fire hazard severity zones within the City of Rancho Santa Margarita local responsibility area as determined by the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, Office of the State Fire Marshal, and pursuant to Government Code Section 15575 et cetera. And if it's approved tonight, we will bring it back for second reading on July 9th. That concludes my presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you for that presentation. Council colleagues, any questions for staff? To my left. To my right. Councilmember Barrett.
So I just wanted to understand, will these maps change anything the city does regarding our property?
City property, no. We already do vegetation clearance, defensible space. It's already.
So we already take care of the city property to the highest standards that the fire maps.
That's correct.
Okay, wonderful. And then just out of curiosity, I think I know the answer to this. Was local fire safety personnel involved in these map designs at all? Or is it just CAL FIRE?
It just comes straight from the Office of State Fire Marshal based on their statewide model.
Is it common that they make a map that completely divides housing on streets to different levels? I mean,
it's all based on their model. There's some FAQs included in the packet that talk a little bit about how the model works. I can just compare it to the 2014 maps. Same thing happened. We had, one home, and the home right next door was not in the fire zone. There were, lack of a better word, squiggly lines on those maps as well. I'm not a GIS modeler, so I apologize. I can't answer.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Councilmember Figueroa.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just one quick question. I was just wondering, Cheryl, do we know, because some of the areas in the city changed in terms of the fire hazard severity, in terms of very high, and so forth. Do we know why that happened, and did CAL FIRE give an explanation for that?
Really, it just comes back to they developed a model, and they applied it statewide as the government code requires. So
it was just their modeling.
That's exactly what state law says, is that the Office of State Fire Marshal has to develop a set of statewide criteria and apply it to the SRA and the LRA, and that's what they've done.
Okay, and these CAL FIRE maps get updated every 5 years, is that correct?
You know, there hasn't been an update since 2014.
Okay.
But I believe the newer government code that requires this adoption does have a more frequent update cycle.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much.
So I get contacted often by residents. I'm sure my colleagues probably do as well. Concerns regarding insurance costs. People are finding their policies on their homes being canceled, or the premiums experiencing increases going through the roof. It's a big issue and a big problem. We heard that in our presentation at the program earlier tonight. We heard it from one of our public speakers tonight, Mr. Innes. So just to be clear, who prepares these maps?
These maps are prepared by the Office of the State Fire Marshal based on statewide criteria, and they measure hazard, whereas the insurance companies measure risk.
So it's done at the state level?
Yes.
Do they prepare a map for every jurisdiction in California?
Yes. They have state responsibility area maps and local responsibility area maps, and all of the local responsibility area maps were rolled out to local jurisdictions throughout the beginning part of this year.
Are cities such as ours asked to give any kind of input in preparing these maps? Do we have any kind of ability to create or modify the maps?
Cities can make changes that are greater than. So a local agency may only increase the level of fire hazard severity and may not decrease any recommended severity designation. That's in state law.
But if we thought that they were being overly cautious in putting great portions of our city in a higher risk area than is deserved, there's no way for us to change that. Is that correct?
There's not an appeal process.
So if a resident was concerned about this whole process, what would be their best recourse? Who should they contact?
That's a great question. The Office of State Fire Marshal, CAL FIRE, they do have some contact information on their website. We have linked all of their information on the city's webpage on this topic.
So tonight we're being asked to approve, adopt these fire zone maps? Does the city have any kind of discretion to say, no, we won't do it because we don't agree?
Not under state law.
So we're basically mandated by state law to adopt this?
Yes.
This does not directly impact insurance. This is just adoption of the maps, correct? You were saying the insurance companies that write the policies, they analyze risks.
Correct.
We heard tonight in our program before this meeting that in the short term, in the future, to try and increase the availability of insurance, to reduce the cost of insurance, that the insurance commissioner's office is now putting in place measures that will not only require risks to be contemplated as they price their policies, but they need to take into account mitigation measures that may have been implemented by the property owners, whether that be individuals or homeowners associations, for example, if they have hardened the and made defensible space. If you present that kind of information to your insurance company, I think in the future that may help to bring down the costs. Is that consistent with your understanding?
That's consistent with my understanding and what the presenter provided tonight.
Okay, excellent. Thank you. Any other questions for staff? Okay. Would anyone care to speak from the public? I have no speaker request cards. All right. Seeing none, I'm going to turn this over to the City Council then for discussion. And I'll start to my left. Anything?
No, thank you for the report. Very thorough. I think it was pretty clear on a pretty complicated situation. And after all the groups that came forward and spoke at the event before this meeting, a lot of information tonight. It's complicated, but I think you've done a great job presenting it to where we can understand a large part of it. Thank you.
Actually, I have a comment and a question to the city manager. The wildfire presentation that we had tonight, is that videotaped?
Yes, it is videotaped, and it will be available on our website and our YouTube channel.
I would recommend to anybody who's concerned about this agenda item to review that video of the wildfire prevention seminar, for lack of a word, that we just had for the last 2.5 hours. It really was quite thorough and addressed a lot of issues from a lot of angles, including the insurance and OCFA and OCSD and others. So I just wanted to point that out. Thank you for the presentation, Cheryl. It was excellent. I'm heartened by the fact that the adoption of any such maps is not something that's relevant to insurance premiums. But it's unfortunate that this is another item that has come down from above that the city has no control over. So with that said, I will grudgingly vote to approve this.
Thank you for that. Any comments to my right?
Okay. Nothing further, no.
All right. Is there a motion to approve the staff recommendation?
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries unanimously. Thank you. All right. We have item 8, continued items. Tonight we have none, so we are back to public comments. This is the final opportunity to address the City Council tonight on any matter not on the agenda. I have no additional speaker request cards. So we're going to then move to item 10, the City Manager's Report. Ms. City Manager.
I have nothing further this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Item 11, matters presented by the Mayor and Council Members. Anything to my right? Council Member Barrett.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to request that we do a study to look at adding additional suicide prevention signage on the Santa Margarita Bridge over in Yale Park. Currently, the signs are limited to the ends of the bridge, and I believe placing 2 or 3 more signs in the middle section could easily increase visibility and potentially save lives. And I'd like the staff to look into providing the cost and feasibility of this addition.
Okay, Thank you for that.
Mr. Mayor?
Councilmember Holloway.
Thank you. The subject of signage on the bridge has been something that we've talked about numerous times through the years, and you know, with great the concern that it deserves. Jennifer, when was the current signage? And to be exact, roughly when was that put on?
It's been within the last 5 years, but I would say somewhere between 3 and 5 years.
Okay. You know, to Councilmember Baird's request, I'm interested in looking to see if there is anything that might aid the focus of what we do there is to possibly prevent somebody using that bridge for suicidal issues. It's a touchy subject, obviously, but I think it's worth looking at. To the extent that we looked at it earlier, we looked at fencing along that bridge, which I'm not in favor of because it ended up being exorbitantly expensive. And when you do measures to try to prevent what has happened there, it's almost immeasurable. You don't know if it's been successful or not. It's a very touchy subject. You don't know if what we do helps, other than we could look at statistics and say, well, since a five-year period, maybe the numbers are smaller than they were, and I'm not asking for that now. So I'm interested in staff taking a look at it, not so far as looking how much it would cost to put fencing again, because I personally don't think that is beneficial.
And I don't think that's what Councilmember Barrett was suggesting. It's not agendized, so we can't really have a full discussion on it. Is there any objection to Councilmember Barrett's request to have staff look into the signage?
No.
So seeing none, consider direction given. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we'll review that information and bring it back at an appropriate council meeting.
Thank you.
I think that original signage went up about 6 years ago.
Anything?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just wanted to, again, thank everybody for coming out tonight. I want to thank Laura Lopez for her hard work on the event tonight also. And thank you to our speakers, our very own Chief Mall and Chief Chapel for being there and being our lead speakers tonight. And just wanted to thank everybody who made this a big event, all the resource tables that were there. I think we had almost 10 of them. And I hope everybody learned something. And I want to thank the city for their work on the event. Thank you so much.
Thank you. To my left. Mayor Pro Tem?
I would just like to repeat what I said earlier. If you're going grocery shopping this weekend and you want to help those in need here in Rancho Santa Margarita who rely upon the RSM Food Bank that's hosted by RSM Cares, I would encourage you to go to Pavilions this Saturday and buy some non-perishable items that can be donated to RSM Cares right in front of Pavilions, and we'll see you Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you. And I wanted to echo Councilmember Figueroa's comments regarding this evening's earlier wildlife prevention and preparedness event. It was really well done. Thanks to everyone that worked so hard to put that on. And I want to call to the attention of our residents that are concerned about fire safety, fire preparedness, the high cost of insurance. That is available to watch. I would urge you to do so. We could assist you in putting you in touch with the various speakers and the other participants that were present and available, because they're the ones that really can answer those questions and give you the information that you might be looking for. I also wanted to highlight that in our presentation earlier tonight, there was a slide summarizing all the various presentations that our city has put on over the course of the past year or so. And those items are also public record. We're happy to share that information with you, the presentations that were given, the information that was given. I encourage everyone to take the time now, today, to prepare your house and your surrounding area so that you are prepared in the event there is a fire or other emergency in the future, so that you'll be prepared and safe when that occurs. All right. So that concludes item number 11. That brings us to item 12, closed session. We do have a closed session tonight, 12.1, public employee performance evaluation. So the City Council will now convene in closed session in the City Council conference room to consider that item, and we will adjourn at this time, and we'll reconvene at the conclusion of that closed session. Thank you. All right, it's 8:47, and the City Council is now reconvening in our City Council chambers. Closed session report. We have no reportable action tonight. Anything else, Mr. City Attorney? Okay, so that concludes our agenda. We're going to adjourn now. The next regular meeting of the City Council will be held Wednesday, July 9th, 7 p.m., right here in the Council chambers. Thanks for your attendance. This meeting is adjourned.